May it please the court, the issue raised by the tax commissioner on the appeal involved an assessment with respect to repairs to a boom crane owned by Elwood. The question was whether or not that the repairs to the boom crane, and I'll refer to the boom crane to make it short, whether the boom crane was exempt material handling equipment or taxable material handling equipment. The boom crane was used by Elwood in its manufacturing operations, in which it made large castings for the steel industry and dies for the auto industry. On Elwood's property, another manufacturing operation was conducted by International Mill Service, IMS. IMS, a separate entity, used its own equipment and its own employees to conduct a scrap mold processing operation. These scrap molds were brought into Elwood's facility from an outside source. They were dumped at an area near the area in which IMS conducted its scrap mold breaking operations. After IMS broke the mold, it, using its own truck, delivered it to an area near Elwood's melt shop. At that location, this boom crane at issue was used. The boom crane picked up the broken molds, stacked them into piles. It then loaded the scrap molds into a gondola, which took the scrap mold into the melt shop, where, using various other items, it was ultimately, the scrap molds were ultimately dumped into a furnace where they were melted and then used in the manufacturing operation. The tax commissioner determined that the boom crane was not accepted from taxation because it handled raw materials, not work in process. Under 5739.011b2 and 01186 read together, material handling equipment is accepted only if it moves product through a continuous manufacturing operation. If it handles raw materials, it is not entitled to exception. The tax commissioner based his determination on a finding that the manufacturing operation conducted by IMS was a separate manufacturing operation from that conducted by Elwood. The broken scrap molds that were the result of the process conducted by IMS were the primary raw materials used by Elwood in its manufacturing operation. The commission... That is the precise question. That's the basis of the commissioner's determination. And I think, as this court noted in Stein, that is what you need to look at determining whether or not that that item can be used, can be deemed to be used in a continuous manufacturing operation. I would submit that Stein is controlling. If you look at the facts in this case and look at the facts in Stein, they are materially indistinguishable. I would note at the outset, and we've set it forth in our brief, that the commissioner has asserted that the board did not have jurisdiction to consider the commissioner's finding that the two operations were separate operations. As this court held in Leonard, a determination of the commissioner can be overturned on the basis of a specific finding by the board only if that finding is specifically alleged as an error in the notice of appeal filed by the taxpayer with the Board of Tax Appeals. If you review the notice of appeal filed by Elwood with the Board of Tax Appeals, you will find no reference whatsoever the tax commissioner's finding that the operations conducted by Elwood and by IMS at this location were two separate manufacturing operations. It's not enough simply to say to cite a statute, and that's all that Elwood did in its notice of appeal. Its citation was extremely general. It simply said that the item, the boom crane, was not subject to tax pursuant to 01B and 02B. Well, that would cover virtually every exemption from the sales tax. In any event, getting to the merits, if the court had jurisdiction, or if the board had had jurisdiction to consider it, it's very clear that the material facts were indistinguishable. Both Elwood and the board pointed to certain factors. Well, if you look at the factors it even considered to be distinguishable, those facts were all true in both Stein and this case. They pointed out to the fact that, well, the scrap processing operation conducted by IMS was conducted on Elwood's property. Stein's operation was likewise conducted on the steelmaker's property. They point to the fact that Elwood retained ownership of the scrap that was processed by IMS. The same was true in Stein. The steelmakers always owned the scrap that was processed. The third factor that they attempted to distinguish Stein on was the fact that they say Stein was paid on a tonnage basis. So was IMS. They were paid exclusively for this operation. They were paid exclusively on a tonnage basis. I would point out that the statement by the board that they were also paid an equipment rental had nothing to do with the equipment used in this operation. As Elwood's own witness testified, that casual equipment rental was for completely different equipment that Elwood actually used in its operation on occasion. What Stein relied upon were the fact that Stein was a separate entity from the steelmakers for whom it processed scrap. It also relied on the fact that Stein conducted its operation using its own employees and its own equipment, and that it was not controlled in that operation by the steelmaker's employees. Those same facts are true in this case. IMS conducted its operation with its own equipment and its own employees. And contrary to the board's statement, Elwood exercised no control over IMS's operation, which involved the scrap processing. The board doesn't point to any evidence, nor does Elwood cite to any evidence in its brief. The fact is, there was no evidence of any control that was carried out by Elwood with respect to the IMS operation. The finding or the statement by the BTA that there was some control exercise being completely without any support cannot be the basis for reversing the tax commissioner's determination. The board also attempted to distinguish Stein by pointing to the fact that, well, Stein involved slag pots. Well, they don't explain how that distinguishes Stein from this case. The issue in Stein was exactly the same issue in this case. The slag pots would have been exempt if the operations conducted by Stein and the steelmakers were one continuous manufacturing operation. It wouldn't make any difference whatsoever, and I think that's what Stein pointed out. They said the fact that Stein actually conducted its operation on property owned by the steelmakers is irrelevant. The fact is, it was a separate operation conducted solely by Stein. It's on that location merely for convenience. doesn't result in it being part of the production operation of Elwood. I think actually the other issue in Stein that the board also seemed to think was somehow relevant, but clearly it was not, would give an example of where an operation is really part of the main manufacturing operation. They hired the equipment with operators from Stein. They actually worked on the production line or in the manufacturing process of the steel makers at that location. There has to be direction and control of the operation by the entity in order for it to be part of its manufacturing operation. Under Stein's argument, you could argue that any of these satellite companies that provide various parts to automobile manufacturers, well, those are all part of our operation because we supply them the tools, we do this, but they're supplying us with various parts that we use to assemble the cars. The fact is you have to have some degree of control and supervision, and control or supervision over the specific operation that's conducted. There was no such control or supervision in this case. IMS was a separate entity using its own equipment, and it is identical to the situation in Stein, and the commissioner believes that the court erred, or the board erred, in failing to give effect to the controlling holding in the Stein case. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, I'm Steve Domingo representing Appellee Cross Appellant Elwood Engineer Castings Co. And as the tax commissioner states, there are two items of property at issue, a boom crane and two dust collectors. With respect to the boom crane, there's no dispute that a manufacturing process commences when raw materials are committed through their transformation. And with respect to this case, there's no dispute that Elwood's raw materials, those old molds that are used as raw materials to be broken up, those molds are transformed in its manufacturing plant just before the boom crane picks them up and handles them. So the only issue is that manufacturing process bifurcated simply because you have an independent party participating in it? The statute doesn't support any bifurcation creating two processes, and the manufacturing rule doesn't support any bifurcation just because you have two different entities participating. It all comes down to the factual question that the Board of Tax Appeals addressed as to whether it was all one process, and Stein is directly on point. And the tax commissioner continues to make just very, very conclusive statements as to the relevance or irrelevance of Stein, as brought out somewhat. There's two complete different activities occurring in Stein, totally complete activities. One activity is the reclamation of the byproduct in the steel production process, which is occurring over in Stein's independent area within the plant, or outside of the plant, a whole geographically separate area on the steelmaker's property. But it was an isolated area of the whole steel manufacturer's facility. Absolutely. That the steelmakers were in no way connected with that process or participating in that reclamation process or in any way and influencing what's happening over there. With respect to the other activity at Stein, which is relevant, which seems to be glossed over, is the activity of providing equipment with operators to participate in the steel production process. Likewise here in Elwood, a crane with an operator is being supplied to participate in the cast or the mold manufacturing process. Geographically, it was all within a small plant area. They controlled access to that area. They had title to the property. They actually participated extensively in the ordering it and stacking it and arranging it. And then IMS would come over and pick up the property from the area that it was being stored and then pull it over to the pit to break it up. These operators of the IMS property were only allowed to participate in their isolated activity only during certain hours of the day. As I recall, it was an 8-hour shift. Not with respect to the reclamation activity. With respect to the activity where Stein was providing operators with equipment, that was of similar restrictions, and that activity was found to be those individuals were found to be participating in the steel manufacturing process. So the Board of Tax Appeals followed the lead in the Stein case with respect to the equipment being provided with operators, but that's not considered to be a separate activity just because you're having somebody participate in your manufacturing process, which makes sense. It's an equitable result and a literal application of the law. So they wouldn't actually participate in the breaking up. Right, and there was, and I don't recall any recollection that, or any findings in the Supreme Court's decision, and the tax commissioner makes reference to this, that the equipment being leased with operators was exempt from tax because those individuals were under the supervision and control of the steelmaker. That's not a finding of the Supreme Court in the Stein case, and so that's not even a necessary criteria here. That they have to be under the direct supervision and control of Elwood in order for them to be part of the process. But there's no indication that they were being, any finding that they were directly supervised and controlled by the steelmaker. I don't recall that as a finding. Sure. Yeah, could I reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal? With respect to the dust collectors, Elwood manufactures the molds, the castings for the automotive industry, but it also makes its own molds used in the castings, to make the castings, and these consist of sand mold. And it's critical when they're making the sand mold that the sand that's used, that's heated, and then is bonded together, that it doesn't have any sand silica fines in the mold, because that would affect the integrity of the mold. And so the property at issue, the dust collectors, as found by the Board of Tax Appeals, and is never addressed by the tax commissioner. And a very explicit finding of fact by the Board of Tax Appeals is that the primary purpose of these dust collectors, of the dust collection system, is to prevent silica sand fines from adulterating sand molds that are used as castings. That statement in and of itself, the acknowledgement of the Board of Tax Appeals that the primary purpose is to prevent silica sand fines from entering into the sand molds, is an exempt purpose. Yes, but that's an alternative argument. We don't even need to rely on that because the equipment itself is extracting these silica sand fines to prevent them from being within the sand mold, and that's a use to make production equipment, which is an exempt use. Right. It's equipment, dust, the dust collectors are equipment used to make other production equipment, and even more broadly, the dust collectors are used to extract the sand, and therefore enabling you to make the sand mold, which is production equipment. Sand mold within which the molten metal is poured to make the casting. Alternatively, it's necessary for production because you want to control that environment so that you can get a good sand mold that's used to make the casting. And that finding, we're not disputing the findings of fact of the board. They just reached the wrong conclusion as to the law. We're resting on that statement as to the primary purpose. We agree with that primary purpose, and that's an exempt purpose. And the tax commissioner never addresses that argument. I'll say it now.
Thank you. Initially, with respect to the boom crane, Stein did specifically find that the operation in Stein involving the rental of heavy equipment and operators, in that operation, the steelmaker directs Stein's operators in their work. That's the court's specific statement on page 502 of the decision. The assertion that somehow this is different than Stein because Stein was in a very specific area of the plant, that's exactly the same here. The IMS conducted its operations on a specific location in the plant. It was even 400 yards away from the melt shop to where the broken scrap molds were taken. Clearly, as counsel has admitted, there was no direction or control with respect to the actual scrap mold processing operation of IMS by Elwood employees. With respect to the dust collector issue, initially, if you look through the file, you'll see that at every stage, Elwood seems to have changed its argument with respect to these dust collectors. Before the commissioner in its petition, it argued solely that they were accepted from taxation as safety equipment. And they stated that the primary purpose was to protect employees. The commissioner rejected that argument. In its appeal to the board, it stated the same general assertions that it stated with respect to the boom crane. There was no specific assertion or allegation that it qualified for exception under 573901B4. B5 or even under 011C7 as equipment used as part of a total environmental control system. In fact, if you look at the notice of appeal to this court, they never raised the 011C or B5 argument, which is the argument that it's used to make other equipment that's used in the production process. Clearly, the notice of appeal by Elwood did not confer upon the Board of Tax Appeals jurisdiction to determine that its equipment, that its dust collectors were exempt under 011B4 or 011B5. Even if it had conferred jurisdiction, if you review 5739.011C5, it is clear that dust collectors are taxable unless they are part of a system that totally regulates the environment in a special and limited area of the plant. Where a statute specifically covers a specific use, particularly an exemption statute, that specific statute should control whether or not they're entitled to an exemption. You should not look to a more general provision. This court so held in the Toledo Retirement Living case. The commissioner's rule cited in our brief also points out that that is the only exemption available for dust collection equipment. Thank you.
The tax commissioner continues to deduct the issue based upon alleged procedural defects. And frankly, Your Honor, if there's a procedural defect, we'll live with that, and we will accept the decision of the court. But likewise, we ask the court that when you find that there is no procedural defect, and it's being used to skirt the real issues in this case, that you find that the tax commissioner is not putting up any real contest against our contention that the dust collectors are exempt based upon the very specific factual findings of the Board of Tax Appeals. Thank you.